Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we come before your throne in grace and mercy, and we would ask right now that the blood of Jesus would cleanse our hearts and our minds from all unrighteousness, that we can come before you and worship you this morning and stand before you and preach your word, and that we can even listen, Lord, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit conviction would set into each one of our hearts today as in anything that would separate or move us away from you, Father. You called us to be a holy people, a righteous people in everything, in every area of our lives. And I would pray that today, as I preach the word, that it will bring conviction on hearts and lives. And Lord, I also lift up this motel again, Father. I just sense in my spirit, Lord, that you are going to do something supernatural in this motel. And it's going to be in visitors and even in the workers that work in this place, that there's a move of God in this motel. I sense even Friday night walking through here upon the manager and the workers, Lord, that you are doing a work. And their hearts are being changed and touched by the presence of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we would ask even today as we're here that, Lord, if there be anyone in this motel and you want to bring them in here or up to any one of us after the service, let us be prepared to share the good news of Jesus and to pray with someone, Father. We thank you. We praise you. We commit this day into your hands in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about Jesus.
Amen.
Am I at a Twins game? Are we excited about Jesus?
Yeah.
Come on, let's get excited. We should be excited.
Yeah.
I should, you know, we got to shout about our Lord. We got to let this world that's going the wrong direction know that we have somebody to shout about.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. They're not afraid to shout about, you know, all the sports figures, are they?
No.
And even when they're, you know. You know, we don't need that. We got the Holy Ghost. And, you know, that's why we need to say, I'm excited about Jesus. I love doing that. When I share a gospel with somebody, I tell them, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm not ashamed of it. You know, we need to do that. I did that this last week. We had a meeting with a company, Kellogg Company, and they came in, and three of the finance guys were there and for selling vehicles and everything, and this one guy was using profanity, and I walked up to him and I said, you know, quit using the profanity in here, okay? I said, we're professionals in here. We don't need to do that. I said, what if the customers are standing around the corner walking in here? And he just stood there and stared at me, and the guy next to me is this guy that said he is a Christian too. I'm not going to say is or he isn't. But I've, you know, you can tell them by their fruit sometimes. But he looks at this guy and he said, did you know that Lynn Diekman is a reverend? And the guy said, oh, man. He said, I'm sorry. And I said to him, I said, you don't need to apologize to me. I said, I can't do anything for you. And then the guy that says he's a brother in the Lord too, he said to me, he says, well, Lynn, you got to understand now, we're under a lot of pressure in this company. And I said, that's an excuse. That's an excuse, man. And he said, yeah, you're right, it is. He says, thank you for standing. I said, you know something, brother? God has called us to be salt and light wherever we are in this company. And I said, I'm going to stand for truth no matter what. I'm not afraid to do it.
Yeah.
And I said, you ought to be doing that too instead of trying to make excuses for other people. I said, you should be an example to the other people around here. I want them to be... not of me specifically, but I want them every time I come around convicted. And that's a great way to feel when you walk through and they quit swearing and quit telling dirty jokes. And see, that's what salt and light does. It's not me, it's whom I represent. And when they see me, they think of God. The Holy Ghost says, Lord, Lord, Lord. And they don't want to use swear words or anything anymore. And that's what we need to do. In fact, you know something? I ordered a bunch more tracks. And I ordered 1,200 of them for this church. And I don't want you to quit passing them out. I mean, like this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, we got a whole bunch of them here. Go out and spread the gospel. Let's be a church. Let's be a different type of church in the day that we live and hand these out, leave them somewhere. That's what I want to bring them in so that you don't forget that we're here to win the lost. That's what Jesus came to earth to die for, was the lost. We want to remember, if this is all we can do, let's pass these out. Friday night, we heard the Karen, the missionary God raised up in Moldova. He said, we go and I send teams out every day and we hand out tracts. And that's what we need to do. You know, I'm so excited, I'm buzzing. Praise the Lord. To be or not to be. That's another, that you'll get it later on. Buzzing bee? Okay. I don't go that deep, you know. I'm just plain vanilla. That's all it is. Just praise the Lord. Anticipation of the word. Anticipation of the word. I looked up anticipation. I already knew what it meant, but I just looked up to see what the dictionary said. It said expectant waiting. The feeling of looking forward, usually excitedly or eagerly, to something that is going to happen. Ho-ho! The rapture is going to happen. I have an anticipation, expectation of what God is going to do. I also have that what he's going to do in Crossfire Assembly of God. Yes. An anticipation. And I hope you come every Sunday morning, not to see me, because I know you don't anyway, but not to see me or to see each other's, but we come together as the body of Christ in anticipation to see what God is going to be doing in our lives. Amen? Because everybody in here has got some issues going on, and you got things in your life, you got plans that you want to see go forward in your life, and we want to come and hope and pray that God will always be part of those plans and those things that are working in your life. There's people in here tomorrow, some of you I know have got hidden things in your life that only Jesus knows about, and you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to come and help you with it yet. And the Lord wants to do that. He wants to help you at this time. This is a church that will not judge you or criticize you, but we want to help you. But we will stand for the truth of God's word. Whatever the Lord says is what you will hear from any of us here, Lord willing. Amen? And that's why we come with the anticipation of the word, that it's moving upon us, that as I preach it or you witness or speak it or whatever, it's going to change our lives for all eternity. And that's why you have the anticipation. Why? It's a living word. Yeah. It lives in the season of the life, wherever you're at, whatever season you're in. When you take the word of God and apply it to your life, the Lord knows what age you are in that season, where you're at of life and the situations. And he takes his word, the anticipation of it. When you apply it and take it to your life, you're going to see God move. Yeah. It may not see that. You may not think he's doing it. You may think nothing's happening. But I assure you, if you're standing on the word, there's something going on. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But God surely is going to be faithful to his word, and he's going to come on your behalf and do what needs to be done, and to use you and to guide you and to deliver you and to help you. Amen? Amen. You see why I get excited? It's Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. And I won't ever walk away from that. As long as I'm preaching in this church, I want to, with the Lord's help, stay excited about Jesus. I'm always going to preach the truth of God's word, and sometimes it gets heavy, and that's okay. Amen? There's plenty of comedians out there. I'll let them do that. Mark chapter 4, 3 and 9. Hearken! Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And others fell on ground, good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. How many got ears in here? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, as we read Mark 4, we find Jesus teaching a large crowd from a boat. And if you say, well, how do you know he's in a boat? You can go to Matthew chapter 13:3. We know this story is the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. How many know that when you're by water, if you sit, especially if you're fishermen in here, if you sit on a boat and you speak, it's like it carries your voice. You can almost hear somebody across the lake sometime. And I used to go fishing, my dad and everything, he says, don't talk so loud. My wife always says that. And like what I'm talking right now, I think I'm whispering. No, I'm just kidding. My hearing's good. I can hear. I can hear. See, the farmer in this story sows a seed in a way that seems really strange to me for some reason. No real-life farmer would ever plant a seed in this fashion. It seems that he was sowing seed just about everywhere. And if you've been raised on a farm and been on a farm like we have, I've watched my dad when he used to plant crops and everything. He knew exactly where he wanted the seed and everything, and it was, you know, taken care of in the proper places. But it seems like in this story, it's falling on everything, isn't it? Wow. Commentators say the farmer was sowing his seed in a broadcast fashion, and some seed accidentally fell in bad places. A skilled farmer could keep this waste to a minimum. In fact, standing on the ground planting by hand, he could be very precise about where the seed would be sown. Yes, he didn't do that. The sowing of a seed was very indiscriminate. I believe what Jesus is saying is that God intentionally spreads the gospel everywhere. He intentionally does that. He desires to give all people equal opportunity to be saved. He desires that every person bring forth fruit. I don't believe that he was just throwing his seed away, but he was hoping that his seed would bring forth fruit. He was anticipating a harvest. That's why I'm encouraging you with those tracts. I'm anticipating a harvest. If we sow into other people's lives, even if you don't know them, I'm anticipating a harvest. Someday we may have people coming to Crossfire Assembly that received a tract from somebody in here that maybe be 4, 5, 10 people separated from the person who gave it to them. But all of a sudden they're going to say, so-and-so gave me this, and then so-and-so got saved and told me about Jesus and da-da-da, and they end up back in here. Who knows? That's how the Lord works. Isn't the Holy Ghost awesome? Yeah. See, that's how God grows his church. He plants seed. That's why you and I, every time we plant the word and we sow it in the hearts, and you know, and unlike Jesus, we want to say, well, I only think it's good here. How many have ever said, oh, that person's way beyond salvation? They're so bad, they're so mean. That's the worst thing in the world you could say. Because you know something? Every one of us in here were at that point one time. And you may, I see people who are just sophisticated and just upright standing and everything, and they are so nice, they wouldn't say a bad word if you stuck it in their head. But they're as lost as jackrabbits. And that's just as dangerous as a person who comes with barbed wires hanging out of their ears and their hair spiked up and paint all over and posts coming out of their lips, their nose, their teeth, their ears, and wherever else they can put the stuff. You know something? Sometimes that's the very person that's hurting the deepest inside, and the Holy Ghost can move in, and we can anticipate the word and watch it. I put a film in. When I got these tracks, I got this thing, and I would encourage everybody to watch this. It's called 180movie.com. Go in there and watch it. It's great comfort witnessing I believe they're possibly college students. I'm not sure. They look about that age group, and you wouldn't believe some of the people in that film. That when they started out, they were just super hardcore in what they believe and everything. And by the time Roy Comfort got done in his unique way of witnessing, I saw this guy with the spike hair that you thought could never be saved. All of a sudden, he's mellowed out. You know why? Because the word of God was starting to take effect in his heart and his life, and it was mellowing him down. And Ray Comfort is bringing him to the point of the love of Christ, why Jesus died on the cross, and why he needed this wonderful Savior. And it's an awesome film to watch. It's talking about the Holocaust and things and relating it with abortion and why we don't want to abort. And it's amazing how many of these young people, I would probably say half the people in that film didn't even know who Adolf Hitler was. And I would say probably 3/4 of the people in there believed in abortion. But when Ray Comfort took them through the process, by the time he was done, every one of them that he interviewed and talked about decided they weren't for abortion anymore. Because he applied the word of God in a proper way. See, that's why we need to be salt and light. That's why the world and the people, that's why the world has gone the way it is. That's why the church is going the way it is, because we quit being salt and light and we hold it in. I don't believe you hold it in. I believe you step out in faith. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I don't believe that he was just throwing a seed away, but he was hoping that this word would bring forth fruit. And every time I witness, every time I share the gospel, I have an anticipation of the word of God in my heart. The message this morning is on this thought, anticipation also of the harvest. Bring your best to God and see what God will do. Are you bringing your best to God? Are you? Ask yourself that. Are you truly giving your best to God? We got to answer that for ourselves. You say, Lynn, you just get acting way too spiritual up behind that pulpit sometime, man. You seem too straight. Woo-hoo! You don't want to know something? I'm going to, with God's help, I hope and pray I always stay that way. One time when I was a brand new Christian, I kind of started out that way. When I got saved, I really got excited, didn't I? I witnessed everywhere I went. And when I was 22 years old, I remember a gal came into our church, and she was a pothead, and she was really freaked out every time she'd come around me. But you know something? She was analyzing me and looking at me because I spoke out what I believed, and I talked to her and told her the power of Christ, and everybody else was trying to pamper and be, you know, oh, you know. You know, sometimes we're enablers instead of helping people get out of what they're in. And I just told it straightforward, you need to get your life cleaned up, lady. And she used to come around me and get freaked out. You know, I mean, she was on it sometimes when she came around. But you know something? God has called us to be salt and light. Bring your best to God and see what God will do. What we have been doing is we have been planting seeds. Did you know that every time you, how many went to the wedding yesterday? Several of you did. Did you know that when you were there, you were planting seeds, hopefully? Huh? Were you? Did you know that there was unsaved people there that probably knew that there was people from a church there too? And were you giving your best to God when they saw you, that you were planting a seed and saying, whoa, those are Christian people there. I'm just being straight with you. You can still have a good time, but you always got to remember that wherever we go, we glorify our Lord, that our life can plant a seed. You want to know why? Because I'm finding out the older I get and the closer I get to death, that death comes pretty fast. And then it's all done. And you don't have any more opportunity. See, my wife and my daughter know that I can have fun as well as be serious. And one thing I take very seriously in my life is my walk with Jesus. When I used to travel nationwide, I always took my walk with Jesus seriously, because everywhere I go, my life impacted people that I talked to, customers, or even when I went out to lunch with salespeople and meetings, managers, or whatever, that I was planting a seed in somebody's heart because they saw something different in me that they didn't see in anybody else. That's how serious I take it. But I can still laugh. Right, Lydia? Boy, when that woman talks. We have been laying aside our best effort, our seed, and we are offering it to God. We are not just planting for the sake of planting, but we're planting for the anticipation of what's going to be the result of that planting. We don't exactly know what God is going to do with our efforts, but God knows. God doesn't see us for where we are today, but he sees what we shall become. That's what's important. I told the missionary, Karen, the young guy, that I said, you know, God has saved us at this point, and he's brought us to this point, but God is more concerned where we're going to end up. And that's what we always got to remember. We can say, man, I'm on fire for Jesus today. But will you be, should Jesus tarry in 10 years from now? Will somebody still see you as fired up for Jesus? Will you see your heart burning for the anticipation of what God is doing in their hearts and your heart? Many of you have heard this parable of the sower. When he sowed his seed in the wayside, the fowls immediately came and devoured it. When he sowed his seed in the stony ground, it immediately sprang up, but then withered away when the sun scorched it because it had no depth of root. When he sowed his seed in the thorns, it was choked out by the thorns. When he sowed his seed in the good ground, it yielded fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. When the disciples of Jesus heard this parable, they didn't understand it, so they asked Jesus to explain it to them. Jesus went on to explain the entire parable. And you want to know something, brothers and sisters? I kind of got to a point in the day and age we live. I and the Lord knows what I mean, and I hope I can say it right, but I kind of get tired of hearing followers of Jesus. And you say, whoa, Brother Len, you said that, man? Yeah, I do. You know something? God called us to be disciples, disciplined people, disciples of Christ. He said, go out and make disciples. And when you hear churches giving altar calls now saying, do you want to be a follower of Jesus? I mean, I understand it. But you want to know something? Anybody can follow Jesus. You can follow Jesus until you die and go to hell. Isn't that the truth? There's people that do that. In Jesus' day, they did that. They followed him as long as he gave them something. But when he got to the hardcore part of being a Christian, it said many of them turned away and no longer followed him. And we got to answer that in our own hearts. Are we just a follower? Are we truly a disciple of Christ, wanting Jesus to disciple us to be like him and to be used of him? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark 4, 14 through 20. I'm going to break it down here. Verse 14, the sower sowed the word. Did you hear that? The sower sowed the word. Jesus said the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. How many of you know that we have been sowing the word? It's the word that we sow. Nothing else matters. This is what we sow, the word of God. You know, we can talk good things and we can talk community and we can say we did this and we did that. But you know something? That isn't sowing the word. That's part of doing works to work out your faith and everything and to show your faith. But the word is what changes the heart and the life. And you know something? What I really appreciate about Karen Friday night, as he said, they went into a village in Moldova, and they didn't just go in there and give these people that needed food. They gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what changes the heart. We just don't do things to be good people. We sow the word of God with the anticipation it's going to bring results. And I tell you what, that's what we got to remember, why we sow in to the things of God. When you come into church, the word is being planted in your heart. Did you know that? As I'm up here preaching the word of God, it's being planted in your heart. When you read the word at home, it's been sown in your heart. That's why it's important to read the word at home also. Bible study time, you receive the word. When we witness, we're sowing the word of God. When we pass out tracts, we're sowing the word of God, which is printed on that page. Even though it's printed on these little tracts, it's from the word of God, and we're sowing it into somebody's life. John 1:14 says in the Bible, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the begotten of the Father, full of grace of truth. See, Jesus Christ, again, he's the living word. He's the living word. Jesus is. That's why I speak Jesus. Brother, Pastor Jim, I speak Jesus. Because he's the word. If that's all you know what to speak to somebody, speak Jesus to them and watch the anticipation of the word move in their hearts. I've seen wealthy people. I've seen doctors. I've seen educated people way beyond what I am that had not Jesus. But when I spoke the word into their heart, I watched Jesus transform them right in front of me, which is an incredible experience. I had a salesman come one time when I lived in Fargo, and he used such big words, nobody liked to talk to him. They didn't even know what he was talking about. Even the college educated owners said, man, this guy is beyond us. And you know something, I was the purchasing agent at that time, and every time he'd come into my office, you know, I looked for opportunities. Every time I listened to what he said to me. And one time he said to me, he said, you know something? He said, when I get lonely when I drive around all day. And I know that feeling. I've done it. And he said, so I bought myself a Springer Spaniel doggy, and he rides with me everywhere. And I looked out the window down from where I sit, and sure enough, there was that little doggy in his car. That's his little buddy. And I said, so you're lonely, huh? And he started telling me. And I said, can I share something with you? Did you hear what I said to him? Did you hear that? Can I share something with you? And he said, yeah, go ahead. Okay, now it's my turn. And I'm not much of a talker. But anyway, make a long story short, I shared Jesus with him, and he gave his life to Jesus. And when he got back, he lived in the Minneapolis area here, and he called me a month later, and he said, Lynn, he says, I just want to call you up and say thank you, brother. And he said, I got myself involved. I think he started going to the, when it was Crystal Evangelical over here. And he got involved in the choir, and he met Christian people, and he said, I'm so happy. You know something? It wasn't me. It was the word, the anticipation of what God did in this man's life, that nobody wanted to be with him because he was so intelligent. But see, Jesus made him intelligent. And his gifting will be used somewhere and is being used somewhere in the kingdom of God. And that's why we do what we're doing. That's why, you know something, you say, why, Lynn, are you just saying you're excited just to say something? No, I'm excited about Jesus. If I wasn't, I wouldn't keep sharing the gospel from year to year. But I keep seeing what God does in people's lives when he did. I did it to my neighbor last year that got divorced and moved away. And he came back one week and I looked at him. I saw him. I waved at him. I went out in the street and I started to share the gospel with him because I figured this is my last chance with the dude. And he came over there and I sat there and I shared the gospel with him. And he bowed his head and we prayed the salvation prayer right in the middle of our street across from where I live. And God's changing his heart and life, hopefully. Because I told him, you need to get a Bible, you need to get involved in the body of Christ, and you need to pray, and you need to serve Jesus. But he said he didn't think he needed a Savior, but I showed him where he needed a Savior, just like we all do. That's what the anticipation of the word is, brothers and sisters. Some of you need a word this morning. There's things, again, like I say, going in your life that only God knows about. And you need a word this morning. You need the anticipation of the word of God to go to that point of your life that only you and Jesus know what's going on. The word is what brings change in your life. Is your life being changed? Is it different from the world? Can you honestly say my life is different from the world? We need to ask ourselves that. The word is what delivers you. The word is what heals you. The word is what gives you joy. The word is what directs your path. The word is what helps you. The word is what serves you. It's the word. What's his name? Oh, man. That was so weak. I'm going to bring back my other sermon, The Weakest Christian. Jesus! Don't worry to shout it. Don't worry if somebody walks by and they say, man, there are a bunch of fanatic idiots in there. Thank you! Yeah. You love the Twins? You say, where did this guy come from, right? Right, Brother Bob? Yeah, huh? Why did we let him in, huh? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is slow. There's Bible readers in here. I like that. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, it's the word that pierces the soul and the heart. Again, God is speaking to somebody that's got something going on within your heart that only you and Jesus know about. And it's this anticipation of the word I want you to get into your spirit that God is going to deal with that situation in that person's heart that only God and you know about. Amen? So if you sense something going on in your life right now as I'm speaking, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost because he loves us. And God the Holy Ghost is dealing in the depth, and his word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Psalms 119:105 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You didn't know that when you have the word that you have headlights on your feet. Amen. Huh? Blessed are the feet upon the mountains who bring good news, the scriptures teach us. I spoke that one time in the Ukraine at a conference of 400 leaders across the country, and I took my shoes off, and I showed them my white, brilliant feet. And they all started to laugh. You know why I did it? The Holy Ghost told me to do it while I was standing there listening to the preacher before he got done, and the Lord says, take off your shoes. And I did, you know, and I believe he wanted me to do that because I instantly had their attention when I went up to that microphone. They went, why did that dude take his shoes off and it's only 30 degrees in this building? It was cold. But I told him, I'm here from America to give you good news. I said, God sent me all the way here. And all the while I was preaching, there was a worship team there. And a pastor was part of it. And I didn't know, but the message I gave at that point, I saw the anticipation of the Word of God supernaturally, naturally move upon. And this worship team was incredible. God, they were anointed and gifted. And they were, when they sang, it was just awesome. And as I gave the word, two of them in the front were weeping their eyes out as I was preaching the word of God. And later on, I found out that they were committing adultery. That's why they were weeping. They were hearing the word of God, and it was touching their hearts and bringing conviction. And they knew they shouldn't be up there like this here, leading people in worship and living in sin and rebelling against Almighty God. It wasn't me, Pastor Jim. It was this. The anticipation of the Word of God. I knew that when I preached the Word that day, it was going to change people's lives. I said, if you're a leader in here and you're living in sin, get up and leave. Or come down here and repent. Because you don't want to be misleading people and not living the life. Amen? Mark 4:15 says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. When did he come?
Immediately.
And taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. How many times have pastors and people witnessed and preached the word of God to somebody and it moved their hearts, and as soon as they got away, Satan came immediately and robbed it out of their heart, and they went back the same way they were to start out with. That's why we have to be careful. When I'm preaching the Word of God, it isn't me. I want you to be obedient to the Word of God, that if God is speaking to you something in your heart, take it with you and make sure the devil doesn't come along and steal it when you get back into your regular place of life. Because some of you are going to walk back into your normal life where the situations are going to be temptation and other issues in your life. You need to take the Word with you and apply it to your life in order for the anticipation of seeing Jesus move in your life. Nothing is more exciting, young people. Nothing is more exciting. Did you know that Jesus took young folks like you and put them in his lap? Christian, that's what he did. He held children because he loved children. He wanted them to grow up and to live for him. And the anticipation of the word holding children must have been an incredible sight, huh? Wow. Whew. There are some who hear the word, but Satan comes immediately and takes it away from them. That's Satan's first business. That's his first business. The one thing you have that Satan wants is the word of God from your heart, from your life. That's what he is after. That's what he hammers on. That's what he seeks after, especially after you've been in church where you hear the word of God. That's where Satan begins to work. He's around here right now. How many know that demons come to church? I tell you what, Satan is waiting to rob you of even what I'm saying today. It's okay to say things, and maybe I hope and pray you don't, because I'm a wonderful person, but even if you talk about me, you know, I'm kidding. I guess I am wonderful. The Lord says I am, so I don't want to say I'm not. But Satan may believe all those promises are his. Did you know that? He may think they belong to him. Satan will come immediately and try and take your word, your promise from you. And I've seen that happen many times in Christians. God has given somebody a promise from the word of God, and life circumstances will make that person think God doesn't care and doesn't love. He's not going to answer. He never does. And Satan robbed what God wanted to do in their life, and they missed a miracle because they believed the lie instead of believing Jesus. See, to be a Christian is not an easy thing. When people say, well, it's easy being a Christian because you got a crutch. No, you don't. I tell you, most people I respect are true Christians, people who truly live in the life and being Christian. Those are people that are fighting a warfare that normal people can't fight. Because it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to help you make it through the day, because you have an unseen force against you that hates you with a passion, because you are in the image of God, and he knows the anticipation of the word when it's released out of our hearts and our mouth. And that's why we got to be on fire. That's why we got to be stern and steadfast in everything we believe. Praise the Lord. Satan can't have my seed. Satan can't have my word. Satan can't have my promises either. God promised me healing. God promised me deliverance. God promised me help. God promised me He would supply all my needs. God promised me He would give me comfort. God promised me He would give me peace. God promised me He would give me rest. God promised me He would never leave me nor forsake me. God promised me. Don't let Satan take that from you. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Because I've come in anticipation of the word. I've come expecting my promises this morning. You should be here this morning and leave this morning and say, I know Jesus is going to come through. I don't feel like it right now. I don't even think about it like right now. I'm just going to stand on what Pastor said and said, Jesus is going to fulfill what he promised to me because it's mine. Satan, you can't have it. Amen? Amen? That's what you do. You get excited about Jesus because God will do what he says he's going to do no matter what you think or I think or we do or he does. Satan, anything, Jesus is going to accomplish it. You got to receive it. It's your word from God. Amen. You read it in here. It's yours if you take it. Did anybody come this morning expecting a word from God? Only one or two of you did? Oh, okay. Jesus said that Satan can take away your word if you're on the wayside. The wayside is the broad road that leads to destruction, and many be there that go that way. Whew. Boy, if you don't see that happening today, it's incredible. It has become trampled down. This road, this wayside, has become trampled down and hardened by sin and deception of many who travel its path. That's what a broad road is. That's what's happening to it. There's many that go there. Sin and deception has trampled it hard. And guess what, brothers and sisters? Seed cannot penetrate that road. It can't. If you're on that road, if people are sitting in churches and they're being deceived, they're sitting on a hard road, they can no longer allow the seed to be planted in their heart, and they become dummies and mummies. They do. They receive it. And it's only going to take the grace of God and the power of God, hopefully, they can get them out of it. Because they become dumbed down in their thinking and their spirits and everything. It's a dangerous place to be is on that wayside. If you're one of those who is really into this 100%, if you're not into it 100%, if you're not giving God your best, if you've chosen the path of many, Satan will be able to take away your word. If you're playing games with God, brothers and sisters, and hopefully you're not, but if you are, if there's areas of your life and you're not surrendered to God, Satan's going to take your word. And then you're going to cry out and say, God, why? But the Lord can say, I don't have 100% of you. Because Jesus said, if you doubt, you think you're going to receive? What pleases God's heart? Does anybody know?
Faith.
Knowing that what he says in his word will come to pass. That's where we get the anticipation. Knowing that when we speak it, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's going on inside of us, when we speak it, the word is planted and sown, and it will bring forth fruit. Oh, don't you get excited, huh? Man. Whew. Satan will be able to take away your word. Satan can take away your promises, and Satan can take away your healings. You can't let it happen, brothers and sisters. You can't let it happen. Get back on the straight and narrow and get back on the right road. There's too many that jump the narrow because it's too crowded or too narrow, and they want to be rebellious, so they want to get where it's easy and everybody's going. But I tell you, get back on the narrow road because Jesus said that's the safe road. That's the road that you become a disciple of Christ. You become disciplined in how you live your life. You can become disciplined in every facet of your life because you're on a narrow path. And the way is what Jesus said. The promises are what Jesus said. The way is what Jesus said. And when you do what he said, you're going to be full of excitement. You'll have a joy. You'll have a happiness and a contentment and a rest and a peace. And you won't even understand why. But I tell you what, the narrow way is the way to go. The narrow way is the way to go. It says in Mark 4:16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Did you hear that? Again, this is just the opposite now. Immediately, they hear the word with gladness. Immediately. It sounds like these people are Pentecostal. We love to hear the word of God. We love some good old Pentecostal preaching. We receive the word with gladness. When pastor preaches, he's preaching to the choir. We get our praise on. We get our worship on because we love the word. Preacher, that one was for me. I needed that. Amen? You're right on, pastor. I'm glad I came to church this morning. Wouldn't I have missed it, you might say to me. Now listen what Jesus says to us. Mark 4:17. And he says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. That means they're born again. They're Christian people he's talking to. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Immediately. And I've seen people like that as brothers and sisters in Christ who have become immediately offended as soon as the word was preached, spoken, or whatever. And I told you, and I'm not going to go through a long story, I'm just going to touch on it because when words impact your life, the Holy Spirit brings into mind because it helps me to grow and to realize. And I told you at the several months, maybe even a year ago, about the salesman that I knew that didn't, as soon as an owner of a company said, I heard you're a Christian, it was like he was offended by it and he didn't know what to say. I don't know if you remember that, but I'm not going to go into it this morning. But anyway, that man, that Christian didn't say a word back to that man when he brought it up, and that man killed himself that afternoon because the brother was offended to the fact that he was called a Christian and he didn't know how to react to it because he hadn't prepared his ground properly. The anticipation was gone. See, I would have sat there and there would have been saliva running out of my mouth. And saying, here's a soul who is hungry to hear the word of God. And I got an answer. I didn't judge the brother. I encouraged him to ask God to forgive him, to go on and to get into the word of God and plow up the ground in his heart. Because just think, a soul went into eternity because we didn't prepare our hearts to keep them right. And every day that happens in our neighborhood, that happens in our work, happens in our grocery stores, wherever we go, we're not prepared in our hearts to live the life and have God 100%. No wonder Christians are bored half to death because they're not living where they belong. There's no anticipation that the God of the universe is walking with them and in them. I tell you what, wake up every morning realizing, even in spite of your hard day, that some way, somehow, God is going to use your life today to encourage somebody. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. How many still love me in here? Praise the Lord, I'm over 50%, I'm okay. As soon as trouble comes along, they fall away. Their ground was not sufficiently prepared. Notice what it else it says, when persecution arises for the word's sake. And brothers and sisters, it's coming. It's coming. It may come overnight while we're sleeping. We may wake up and our world's going to be totally different. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's what my heart is, to prepare you should Jesus tarry, because it's coming. It's on the way, and there's going to be many Christians who will be offended by it. What does that mean? It means when you take a stand for God's word, persecution will come. Persecution will come. I felt little bitty things of it. I'm not even going to put myself in the category for brothers and sisters who died for it, but I know what it's like. In a small, small way. When you step out of the crowd and say, this is what I believe, you draw attention to yourself. Just like I told you about the sales guys the other day. When I said that, I stood out differently from them instantly. Instantly. Your closest friends and maybe even your family will begin to persecute you. Why did you go to that church? Do you really believe some of the Jesus stuff? The Holy Ghost stuff. Do you really believe that? People will question you. Well, that was another time. Quit being so serious. God wants us to live the good life. Jesus said that if you have no root or depth in your walk with God, you will not be able to endure for very long. You will become offended and fall away. Don't let that happen to yourself, brothers and sisters. Don't let it happen. The word has been sown in you. You are doing your best, hopefully. Don't listen to the naysayers. Your promise is sure. It is sure. Your promises are sure. If you need the strength of God, it's in here. It's sure. Stand on it. You have come this morning because you need the word. I hope you've come anticipating the word today. Not my word, brother. Did you hear that? Not my word. Can I get a witness to that? Amen. Not my word. God's word. Jesus said you have to be rooted. The first root produced from a seed is called the radicle. That's the part of a plant, the embryo, that forms the root of the young plant. When the root grows and enlarges, it becomes the most important root of the plant and is known as the tap root. The tap root goes way down, kind of like the song, deep way down, deep down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus deep down in my heart. That's the tap root. That's the tap root. The tap root has three functions. It absorbs water and nutrients. Just like when you heard Karen Friday night talking about the people and he showed clips of it, you saw the people, they were absorbing the word of God and the nutrients of what they were feeding him. I've been there. I've sensed that. That comes right out of you. They pull it out of you. They're absorbing it. That's what it's talking about, the root. To anchor the plant to the ground, that tap root, to store up food and nutrients for times of drought when they come, and they'll come. Whew. And if you got out of one, you'll go into another one. God never quits working either. Did you know that? He says, I want Pastor Jim to be just like me. I rough that guy up, but you know something? He's got a little bit more rough than I need to do, right? And we got to be willing to allow God to work on us. And sometimes it isn't fun, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it can even feel devastating. But God has promised his word that he's going to give us victory, and we're more than conquerors, and we can do all things through Christ, and he will deliver, and he will be fulfilling everything he promised us. So we have to believe that this morning. You need to have the living water of the Holy Ghost in you. You need to absorb as much living water as you can. See, that is why Paul said, I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than y'all. Remember when I spoke on the Holy Ghost here a week ago, 2 weeks, whatever it's been now? Time goes so fast for me. I'm getting old too fast. But you want to know something? Paul spoke in the Holy Ghost a lot. That's where he got his power. That's where he knew that God met him and he was able to walk. And I believe, I don't know Brother Paul personally, but I believe he walked around all day when he was on his journeys. I believe he spoke in tongues. I believe he spoke to God in an unknown language because his source and God was feeding his spirit and his strength because it came through the power of speaking in tongues. The power of God flowed through Brother Paul. That's why he was a mighty man of God. Not because he was, but because the God who lived in him flowed through him as he spoke in other tongues. And that's what we need to do. We need that, don't we? We need that living water. See, if you're not anchored to the foundation of Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. I hope and pray everybody in here is anchored and will get anchored if you're not. Because, see, I don't live with you every day. You do. Jesus Christ is our rock. Jesus Christ is our anchor. When you take on his name, you become attached to him. Try and speak his name sometime in public. Speak it. I did it one time in Golden Valley when Kingdom Hall let out one night. It was fun. I drove up in the parking lot when they were all coming out in the parking lot, and I said, Lord, I'm going to do this. It's probably stupid, but I'm going to go out and witness to all of them in one shot. And I did, and they were like bees on honey on me. They were surrounding me and started coming on me, and I couldn't believe it. I just got excited. And I said to every one of you, I'm not exaggerating. I said, every one of you around me right now, you have no joy. There's no joy in you. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You don't even believe. You don't even have joy about the God you say you're serving. But I said, I do. I got joy because Jesus lives within me. I'm born again Christian. And they're all rattling off and, you know. And I finally had to leave because they probably, you know, there's only one of me. But, you know, I just did it. I had to do it one time anyway. It was fun yet. I might do it again. If you had not stored up the bread of life, the truth of God's word, for times of drought, then you're not going to make it. That's why you got to read the word and to be in it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against you, David said. Or not sin. Sorry, thank you. See what happens when you talk a lot? Thank you, though. I really appreciate that. I don't mind that at all. Don't ever do it again. I mean, no, I'm just kidding you, Barb. I can accept correction. I really can. I can accept that. Thank you. It is told that in many places in the Middle East, there is only an inch or two of soil on the top of the limestone stone rock. If seed falls on this ground, it will grow and germinate quickly. The limestone holds heat from the sun, which creates ideal conditions for seeds to sprout. But after the seed puts down roots in search of water, it starves and dies as quickly as it grew. There's no place for the radical root to transform into a taproot. There's no depth or substance of soil. Are you rooted deep into the Word of God, brothers and sisters? Do you have substance in your life? I'm talking about more than feelings you get when the worship service is going on. I'm talking about a deep-rooted knowledge of the Word of God, the Word, so that when trouble comes along, you know what the Word says and that you can make it through. That's why it's important. Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For this saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." This expression, break up your fallow ground, is found twice in the Bible. Once here in verse 3 and in Hosea 10:12, which I'm going to read. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen? See, fallow ground means idle ground. It means uncultivated ground. It means unproductive ground. It means untilled ground. That's why if you aren't moving in the things of God and living for God, your heart, the ground of your heart, is stale, stagnant, just like the living water that should flow out of us. It becomes a stinking pond. We need to activate that. We need to move in the things of God. We need to get it into our hearts and our mind. See, not only were the Jews commanded to break up the fallow ground of their hearts, but to take away the thorns growing therein so as to be ready to receive the word of God and produce righteousness instead of sin. You know, as you and I draw closer to the Lord, the heat gets hotter. Did you know that? If you become more desirous to be like God, I'm not talking legalistic. I'm saying if you strive to be like Jesus, the heat's going to be turned up on you, spiritually and physically around you. Even fellow believers will begin to ridicule you if you get on fire for Jesus. Because if others aren't where they belong, you will begin to look more righteous to them, and they will begin to call you names and separate even from you because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Never compromise. Never try to appease people if you know you're just loving Jesus and wanting to be like Jesus. Never do that. The expression of the fallow ground. Matthew 15:8 and 9 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." In other words, do not sow seeds of repentance in unfit soil. Don't do that. Prepare the ground properly before sowing them. We should regard repentance as a serious matter requiring forethought. We should look at it and say, do I really mean it, Lord? Do I really repent? And ask yourself and judge yourself. Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That means we don't pick and choose. We take the whole console, don't we? Every part of it. That's why I get angry when I hear new translations, when I hear preachers, I hear evangelists, I hear brothers and sisters try to change the Word of God, to add to the Word of God, to say it doesn't matter. It does matter because God says every word that we live by is in here. Be careful where you receive the Word. Some churches don't even believe every word anymore from God. And that's the truth. In fact, I was at a deal at Ken Ham and Grace this last week with a friend. And this was a brother who does a lot of traveling and everything, and he's from Oklahoma, where the Creationist building is, his museum. And he made a statement there. He said he has many people from around the country come and visit that. And he says when they come there, a lot of times over weekends, they like to come to me and say, "Hey, Brother Ham, where do we go to church at here? Where is there a good church?" And he says, "You know something, brothers, sisters?" He said, "I honestly, in my whole Christian life," he says, "I honestly can't even tell them anymore." He said, "They're not around." He said, "I have a hard time knowing where to tell people to go worship now, even in my hometown." And he said, "That's how bad it's getting there." And he just laid it down, the line, that night. And I'm hoping the pastors there really grabbed a hold of what this man was saying, because he's concerned about what's happening too in this world of ours, our church. I'm getting close to the end here. 15 more pages. Be careful who you listen to. Some have no depth in the Word of God. We have life today because of every Word of God. I'm going to say that again, every Word of God. And there's preachers preaching today that they have absolutely zero depth, because all they want to do is appease and make people like them for whatever reason. Paul said in Acts 20:27, "For I have shunned to declare unto you all of the counsel of God." I like that, brother. Paul! He did it too. He died for it, but I tell you what, he did it. Aren't you glad that we have all the counsel of God? We don't pick and choose what we believe. We believe it all, we live it all, and we want it all. Amen? Amen. I want to hear that amen again.
Amen.
There, that sounded like everybody believed it now. There's a difference. When Sunday services all died down and you're all alone, you still know what the promises of God are, because that's what happens. I've seen people like that get fired up in church and then go home and go back and lose all the hope and whatever. Satan comes along and robs, steal. I've been at men's retreats where men are fired up shouting, "Hallelujah!" And they get back in the world and they go back in their own sinful way right away. I've been on mission trips with young people in Chicago and New York several times, and they all go fired up and come back and give their testimonies. And within 2 to 3 months in the church, they're backslidden and won't even come in the door anymore. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way, brothers and sisters. We should keep the fire of the Holy Ghost within us. When all the singing and shouting of church or camp meeting is over and you don't feel so good anymore, you still come to church because you have root. You still serve Jesus because you have root. When you don't feel like obeying the Word, you still obey because you're rooted and grounded in the Word. Give God some praise this morning. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm getting close. I'm getting you close to the end here. It's not quite the closing yet, but I'm getting you there. Mark 4:18-19 says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entered in, choking the word, and it becometh unfruitful." See, the word is choked by three things, Jesus said. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, or pleasures or lust of the eyes. Most farmers would not plant seed in with weeds and thorns, but Jesus wants to give everybody a chance, doesn't he? He wants to give everybody a chance. Life, money, and things, these are thorns that will literally suffocate or kill the word of God in your life. Every one of us deals with these things every day. We will all deal with the cares of life. We'll all deal with money, the lack of money, and the desire for more. We all deal with the desire for things. Jesus wasn't saying we can't have money or things. He said the deceitfulness of those things will choke the word. Money and things. They look great, but when you actually have them, you become deceived as to who you are. If you are not careful, you become a different person. Jesus was saying if you allow those things to enter into your life, it'll choke the word. Be careful that the spirit of this world doesn't quiet God's spirit in you. Amen? Be careful about the spirit of Hollywood. Amen?
Amen.
Be careful about the spirit of the sports world. Amen?
Amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
That one's prevalent. I had to emphasize that one. suffocating the word. Don't let the things of this world choke out the word, brothers and sisters. Mark 4:20 says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is what happens when the word is planted in the good ground. How do we become good ground? Hear the word of God, stay in the word, receive it, don't get distracted, don't let anybody come between you and God. Bring forth fruit. When the word of God is received and obeyed, it will bring forth fruit. Amen? Amen. Keep your ground good. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Isn't that an awesome promise? I got to read this again. I'm sorry. So shall my word, this is God speaking now. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep handing out tracts. Stay in Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at the person next to you and say, even though you are made out of dirt, you're mighty fine ground. Word of encouragement. See, when I receive the word of God in my life, I'm expecting something to happen. I'm anticipating something to take place, and you will bring forth fruit. Don't think of fruit. Think of productivity. You will produce. You will multiply some 30, some 60, some 100 times. Don't worry about how much you produce. Just be thankful you're producing. Yeah. Don't get focused on how somebody else is doing so much more. Don't get focused. If you can only do one little thing, focus on that and see what God does with his word. Don't worry about how much you're producing. As long as you are producing. It will be different for everybody. Don't be jealous of somebody else's blessing just be anticipating the word. That's what you need to do. Don't be jealous of anybody. We're all in this together. Come to God's house expecting next Sunday, will you? Will you come next Sunday? Because something is going to happen, and I believe it. Whether it's this Sunday before we're done here, or next Sunday, or the Sunday after, there's something going to happen every day anyway. When you wake up tomorrow, anticipate the word of God. Whatever's going on in your life or in your family, whatever, wake up tomorrow and realizing it's one step closer to the word being anticipated in that person's life. And then you'll get excited. And then you'll probably, the Lord might even show you a picture of me in your mind, and you'll start jumping and say, I'm excited about Jesus. Huh? Wouldn't that be something if you shouted that out your window driving down the interstate? Come believing, come anticipating, come and receive what God is for you. You need the anticipation of the word of God. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Speaking in your tongues if you have a tongue language. Shodo la la ki and the kele ando. Shodo koda la ki and the kele ando da koda de ke ande. Loda de ki and the ke shoda de ki and the kele ando da ki ande. Heavenly Father, this morning, if there's anybody in here this morning and you can just honestly say that the word is, I haven't been anticipating the word. In fact, I've been really doubtful of the word. In fact, it hasn't really had a big impact on my feelings and my thoughts, and I'm focusing more on my feelings and my thoughts than the word. I want you to raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be honest with the Holy Spirit, because that's when God can minister to you. Let's get them way up in the air and let the Lord know that here I am, Lord. Not that he can't see the heart, but let's do it at because we're all in this thing together. Amen. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, you see the hands that are up in the air. Mine are up in the air, Lord. And I pray over my brothers and sisters in Christ that have been struggling so hard in their spirits and in their lives and their emotions, their feelings and their actions of life. And right now, Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost right now will permeate their hearts with the power of your anointing, with the power of your fire, with the power of rivers of living water. And Lord, I pray that you put the spirit of anticipation within the depth of their hearts right now, that even leaving this afternoon, knowing that even today, even before this day is gone, your word is activated in their life. It's activated. Once they speak it out, once they read it, it's sown in their heart. It becomes anticipated to become reality in their life. I pray that over them right now. Give them the joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I anticipate joy in spirits today. And Lord, I already sense your spirit touching some hearts this morning. That where Satan has tried to rob and to steal your word, that you're putting anticipation back. And Lord, I pray that you would send it forth right now in the name of Jesus through the power of your Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, manifest upon this church, upon this body of believers in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm anticipating. I'm radical anticipating. Praise the Lord.